Welcome to the Advisor Arena Podcast with your hosts Jamie Malm and Josh Watson. This show is designed to share ideas and help you gain insight from some of your most successful peers. We will discuss industry news, hot topics, and challenges you may face, as well as give you some possible solutions. Thanks for joining us today. Let's get started.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Advisor Arena. I'm Jamie Malm.
And I'm Josh Watson. Today's focus, trust in the annuity space. Because before clients will ever hand you their money, before they'll sign anything, really even listen, they have to believe what you're telling them is true, useful, and really in their best interest.
Yeah, this topic was recently published in Think Advisor. We saw the article, and I think it was titled Seven Major Drivers of Annuities of Trust in Annuity Advisors. And I thought, well, let's dig into that a little bit, because I think it's helpful to share then practical ways to embed these drivers into your conversations, into your appointment process. What kind of tools can you use? Because we probably all think that we're doing the things to build trust, but are we? And how does that actually show up to our clients? So I love this one.
It is. It's a good one. And really that brings us to our first foundational driver, which is credibility and expertise. And, you know, clients want to feel they're working with somebody who really truly knows annuities, that can see beyond the product pitch, show them where it actually fits in their overall plan. They want you to speak in terms they can obviously understand. So simplify things, use analogies, stay current. So share recent case studies where you've actually used it and helped another client and how it's done. And then just be willing to admit that there are some unknowns that you may not know, but you'll commit to finding the right information for them.
It's a good point. Better to say, great question, let me get an answer for you, than feel like you have to answer everything on the fly and then it wasn't right. That you lose credibility instantly in that situation. We did a podcast a while back on the difference between authority and expertise. And I think this is a great example of how that plays out in real life, because we can be an expert on something, but that's not enough. We have to be viewed as an authority, because that's what influences somebody to actually make a decision and take action. The best way that I have seen that happen, and I've been through lots of coaching and programs on how do you differentiate the difference here, we have to help lead people to make their own decisions. That's the key differentiator. Let me give you the information and influence you, be authority on this, but ultimately they have to make their own decision on it.
And we have some really great tools for that. One that comes to mind for me is Annuity Rate Watch, which, as you know, is built right into the portal. Gives the advisor access to all the different nuances of the products that they can offer. And that it also shows that they offer everything, right? Yeah. And so you can provide the transparency and all those details about why you're making a certain recommendation by using Annuity Rate Watch.
And let's be clear, this is at the point in the appointment process where they're already sold on the concept. We're not leading with product recommendations, but we've gone through the appointment process and now we are to the point where we are making a specific recommendation. Using a tool like Annuity Rate Watch, the feedback that I've gotten from clients is it feels like we're taking them behind the scenes almost, right? Like they're seeing something that they, oh gosh, this is awesome. You know, how did you come to this recommendation? So when we show like where this fits in all of their options, and we highlight the fact that we are independent advisors that can offer all companies out there, that's one thing to hear that. It's another thing to see that in play. And that eliminates that nagging feeling in the back of their mind of, I wonder if I should have looked for a better cap, a higher bonus, better features, more withdrawals. It's human nature. We can't help it, right? You recommend something to me and I'm going to feel like, could I get a better deal somewhere? Should I have looked for that a little harder before I say yes?
Psychologically, for clients, if you think about it, if you give them transparency show them the policy, the design, you know, those assumptions, the what if scenarios. It really reinforces your credibility at the end of the day. And it says, hey, you know, I'm letting you behind the curtain, showing you how this all works, and helping you make the right decision.
Yeah. And I think when we know this, but we forget to do it in practice, when we are proactive with features that may turn into objections later, what are the downsides? What are there fees on this? What are the things that may come up later? If we're not the ones to highlight those features up front, if they don't know that they exist until they ask, then it looks like we were hoping they wouldn't notice, or we were hoping they wouldn't bring it up. That does not build trust. That is the opposite of building trust. And so when we make our recommendations, we want to make sure that we're proactively leaning in to not just the good things, but the trade-offs. There's a trade-off for everything. People know that. To get all of these features, here's what we're giving up on the other side. Does that make sense for you? That's what builds credibility and trust.
That's actually a great segue to the second driver, which is integrity and honesty, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about really aligning your incentives, like you said, disclosing any conflicts, being upfront about fees, some of those trade-offs and limitations, and just using plain language on disclosures. When there is not a good option, letting them know, you know, like, hey, there's just, we can't help you with this one.
Don't try and force it.
Right. Don't try and force it. And then just periodically auditing your own book. So check, you know, whether you're favoring one carrier or product for convenience, or is it actually in the client's best interest? And so if, you know, a client later, I think it goes back to discovers that you did mislead them or left something out, that's really going to damage trust. And as everybody knows, that's really hard to repair, especially in this business.
The periodically auditing your own book, I think, is a big one. We fall into that sometimes without realizing it. I'll notice it if I go and I'll look through some recommendations that advisors have made, and I'll look and I'll say, gosh, for every client that they've written the last few months, it's really, they've been favoring this product. And that might be appropriate. It might be, there might be a reason for that. It might be that they happen to be the most competitive in that time frame. But we need to self-reflect and say, is it because that's the one I know the best and I'm most comfortable with? Or if I had to back up why this was actually in somebody's best interest, or why it was the best option in this scenario, could I? And that's where Generational Vault can help. So you've got this client portal with Generational Vault, not just to provide transparency and convenience for your clients, but it's a record of what took place to protect you as well. If a client questions something later, if beneficiaries question something, you can walk them exactly through the analysis, the research, the comparisons, the feedback that you provided the clients that led them to make the decision that they did. It's a paper trail, although it's digital, that sends a signal to the clients, I'm going to stand behind my work. This, I'm putting this out there for you to review at any time, for your kids to review. Like, this is why we made this decision. And that is creating that sense of integrity, honesty, credibility.
Yes. And really having that integrity and honesty kind of brings us to our third driver, which is shared values and empathy. I think trust, a lot of times from clients, it comes from the fact that they feel like you get them, mm-hmm. right? So you understand what they're fearful of, their goals, you know, what their anxieties are. And one way you can do that and relate to them is just using client stories to show that you've coached and been through similar situations with other people, you know, asking good questions and then actually really truly listening. And then repeating it back, make sure you heard them correctly, that you would really understand what they're trying to tell you. And then, like we've been mentioning, avoid jargon. So speak their language. You know, yeah. So that's sometimes I catch myself doing it. We've got gradients, internal jargon.
Yep. We do it all the time.
People are like, what's that even mean? So just avoiding that jargon speak also goes a long way.
And that's a good point. When we talk about truly listening and repeating back what they've heard and asking good questions, that is a huge skill set. It is not one that's like, oh yeah, I ask good questions. And, you know, it is something that you can continually strive to get better at, because that's what makes the difference between people that seem to just easily connect with people and build rapport easily and those that maybe don't. It is feeling like, as a client, I walked out of there and you understand my situation possibly better than I do. So repeat back what they heard. What I think I heard you say is this. Is there anything else? Is there anything else? Even saying at the end, scale of 1 to 10, after you've said, here's what I feel your priorities are, how well do you feel like I understand your situation? Those are all tips that we've talked about that came from Tom Schaff that I think are so invaluable. But when you're talking about empathy, and let's just say a client is concerned about the market's going to tank, or what if I'm going to lose all my money? We have a tendency to jump on, I've got a solution for that. And we want to get into the annuity sale right away, where we need to instead think about, well, how do I connect with them and empathize with that a bit? So it's not, let me jump on and provide you my solution. It's, I get that you've probably seen friends that have lost money in downturns. What matters most to you? Is it the protection? Is it flexibility? Is it legacy? Use that emotional connection that you're starting to build with them as a foundation then of everything that's going to come, that is going to come after that. And we have some great tools and things that help position you as somebody that's fixating on each of those things that's most important to them, rather than just, here's this cookie cutter approach, this product I use every time. I couldn't wait for you to tell me that you were worried about downturns. I'm going to jump right on that and give you my solution. That's doesn't feel like real empathy or listening.
Yep. You're exactly right. And that brings us to our fourth driver, which is accessibility and responsiveness. And I think this one's really important right now, just with how the world works and what's going on. But I think a lot of times, and I do it, it's a big one for me, clients judge you by how easily they can reach you or your office, how quickly mm-hmm. you reply, how consistently you follow through. So I think it's really important to set realistic expectations when it comes to those things, especially follow through. An example, you know, let them know if I get an email, I'll respond within 24 hours, then actually stick to it.
Yeah.
I think this is where technology also comes to play to help with that accessibility and responsiveness is client portals, you know, pushing out messages through text message, things like that. And then just being proactive. And we've kind of discussed this earlier, being proactive even before a client asks, you know, send updates, you know, as you get them, send them to them, whether that's economic indicators shifting or rates coming down or whatever it may be.
We have to think about, we've gone through the process of somebody moving money 1,000 times, but it's probably their first time doing that. And so they don't know what's realistic. Should I hear from you in 24 hours? Should I hear from you in 3 weeks? We've got some excellent documents in the Tactical Coaching app that are consumer facing. They're ready for you to customize and brand, but it sets expectations when you bring on a new client on here's what to expect. Here are our next steps. And that goes along great with just being responsive, being accessible, setting realistic expectations, communicating that up front. I also think generational vault is ideal for this because it is your always on portal. Clients can see where things stand. They can download documents. They don't have to come to you to get some of these things that they may be asking for. And then with the addition of smart data, the AI component that will be rolling out with Inside VA, you have that integration that is going to push real-time values and data, even for accounts that are held outside, annuity accounts, investments account, bank accounts, held away accounts, that all goes right into their vault. So we want to use technology as much as possible to create efficiency so it doesn't feel like everything rests on your shoulders to be the one that's responding. So it's technology, it's team, it's setting expectations. All of those things help, like you said, clients feel like this is somebody that I can rely on, which is what we want.
And that brings us to our fifth driver, which is predictability and consistency, right? So yeah. I would say that that's in both your how your staff acts, how you behave, but also in your messaging. People trust patterns, right? When they know what to expect, they trust it. And so just your tone, making sure your processes are consistent. If they're not, that's when clients can get uneasy. So, you know, have consistent meetings with them, stick to templates that you can customize, but overall have consistent messaging. And then when markets or rates change, have a script, right? Have a consistent message, not only that you're giving to clients, but also your staff is relaying as well, that doesn't involve chaos. So make sure that you're consistent with those as well.
Yeah, I think you've got to have organized updates that you're sending, and it's got to have a predictable cadence. So do you send quarterly updates? Are they going to get a call from you every 6 months? Are they going to come in and meet with you once a year? Having kind of that standard expectation on this is the bare minimum of what's going to happen, but I'm here if you need me. That shows people that you're predictable, you're consistent. Like you said, they know what to expect. So I love that.
Yep. And then sixth driver here is just performance and outcomes. So being able to demonstrate performance mm-hmm. and those positive outcomes that you've created for other people goes a long way. So it's not just, hey, this is, you know, looks good on paper. If you can actually show, hey, here's the results you can expect. I would say within reason, I wouldn't be showing people, you know, statements yeah. showing that 25% return in an annuity.
That works against you later.
Right. That could come back to bite you. But using yep. just actual clients and case studies, showing those actual live returns goes a long way.
My favorite tool on this is inside Product Central. We put together a monthly index report, and it shows how long an index has actually been live, what the returns have been since they went live, not just back-tested numbers that you have to try to defend later. So again, setting realistic expectations, using real data, not this is what they project it to be, but it's only been live for 2 months and, you know, who knows. That sets you up for a very difficult conversation later, potentially. And we want to avoid those things. We're starting to undo all the good that you've done with building trust. If we set ourselves up for, I know a year from now, I might have some explaining to do on why this didn't generate a 15% return like the illustration indicated. Just don't set yourself up for that. That's going to work far more against you than it's going to work in your favor up front. Right. And then I think the last one is we are people that like to know what others are doing. We like that endorsement. We like social proof that we're not the only ones that see value in this. Think of this like if you've ever held a seminar and nobody is there, you're worried what? That your prospects are sitting there thinking, why am I the only one that thought this was valuable? What, you know, if you have a room full of people, they're like, uh-huh, high demand. Everybody else thought this information was valuable too. So we want to highlight our advocates. There's even now states that let you do testimonials on your site for investment advisors. We want to use case studies of real clients with their permission, of course, maybe don't use their real names. We want to leverage social media to show third-party credentials or accolades or as much as we can there. So within compliance, within reason, we want to really think about ways that we can leverage that endorsement and social proof for people. That's huge.
Genuine and specific endorsements go a really long way. whether it's from
genuine.
Yes. Yes. Genuine for sure. I mean, that's just huge. Having your clients with their genuine endorsements on your website, that's really cool and really helps build that social proof that you're talking about that, hey, others are doing this. They've seen the value in it. I see the value in it. You know, it really helps.
I agree. Okay. So let's wrap up and take a step back and think about how we implement these seven drivers of trust. What does that look like when we combine it with our tools? So one, let's think about our prospect meeting. We want to lead with empathy. We want to hone listening skills. We want to really be asking the questions, the why behind their desires, not our data figures, but the feeling portion of it. We really need to lean into that. Two, when we are starting to look at carrier selections, investment selections, use transparency, use technology, things like annuity rate watch to select carriers that are easy to work with. They're highly rated. They're financially strong, not somebody that's going to set us up to lose credibility later. As we bring on clients and an onboarding generational vault, that's the full record. That's our paper trail. That's our disclaimers. That's our comparisons. That is me saying I'm going to stand behind these recommendations. And then what kind of technology can we use to support ourselves in the ongoing relationship? You mentioned technology with alerts and updates and responsive messaging, consistent messaging and cadence through Campaign Builder. Again, Gen Vault, where you've got on the front of the line, that's your first line of defense of here's all the documents that you could possibly want and need. And then finally, that social proof. So how do we continue to build upon the trust, the credibility that we work so hard to build with our clients? Well, that should relate then to referrals. We should leverage stories. We should lean into our advocates. We want to make that as visible as possible so that your business becomes very hard to commoditize. They can't get that everywhere. The products that you offer, the investments you offer, maybe, but all of these other things that you bring to the table that are so important, they can't get that elsewhere.
You know, when I look at this list, I kind of realize how, and I do this too, a lot of us probably lean a little too hard on expertise and the technical deep dive of what we know and how much we know. And probably neglect empathy, being responsive and just consistent more than we should. And so I think sometimes we just assume clients feel that when maybe they don't. And so that's also important to focus on.
Yeah. And we get a bit robotic, right? Same appointment, same things, yep, day after day, same seminar content, same fact and feeling finding. And if we're not being genuine and engaged and really trying to uncover the why behind people, it will feel like I'm just a data intaker, which is going to come across to your prospects and your clients. So I think main thing to take away from here, what I'm hoping everybody takes away at least, is that this is not a radical reinvention needed for most of us. It's slight adjustments. It's things that I can do a little bit differently in each of these key areas. It's adding some transparency via tools. It's standardizing my follow-up. It's polishing my communication. Those are going to go a long way with doing everything that was outlined in this article that says here's really what people are looking for. So I think if you're listening to this and you're like, I need to make some tweaks, let's think about generational vault first, your client portal. Okay, that's an easy one that we can use to create some transparency, back up our recommendations, provide comparisons. I think Luma is one that we haven't talked about yet, but to be able to quickly set up an interactive dashboard for our staff, for you to quickly get access to anything that they currently have. That's been such a great resource for us. I know internally, for me as an advisor, I can go out there without having to log on to a bunch of carrier sites and get information for people quickly. And then I think we want to partner with carriers that are easy to work with, right? They're stable. They have a high reputation. We don't want to do all of this work on the front end And then, oh gosh, the product selection, which should be the easiest component of that, is something that derailed everything that we'd done because we didn't set realistic expectations, or we didn't choose somebody that was going to stand behind what they said they were going to do up front.
Exactly. Yep. And I would just say, hey, thanks for joining us this week. Next week, I'm pretty excited about this topic. We're going to go through some of the AI tools, how they can help with income projection, client segmentation, productivity. So hot topic right now. And I know you're using AI. It's part of your business. Love it. Saving you a ton of time. So it's going to be a good one.
It's such a big thing to figure out, how do we start incorporating it in, and it's not going anywhere. So yeah, that'll be a big one. So join us next week. Until then, keep building trust, use the tools. If you need our help to make some tweaks in your practice, we're here as always. You can email us at theadvisorarena@gradientib.com. You can call us. We want to help make sure that you feel really confident in all of these areas, and that you have everything that you need. So until next time, we appreciate you listening. Hope you found it valuable.